Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with all of you today, especially those of you who are joining us on blogtalkradio.com/xman777 by calling into 818-369-0326. Nobody ever remembers all these numbers. Nevertheless, for those of you who have found your way to this radio broadcast, good morning. It's Tuesday. It is the 10th day of September 2019. We are one day away from remembering 10 years ago, or excuse me, my goodness, 10 years ago. We're talking 18 years ago, 18 years ago, the 9/11 event that changed the world for the most part. And we will talk much more about that on tomorrow's broadcast. But today, we're going to share a word. I believe we have a prophetic word from the Lord for someone out there today. And I believe it is a word in general to the church. And just about 28 minutes from now, Patricia Joy Xavier will be joining me on the air. We are, by the way, broadcasting live on video at Facebook, and that's on the Omega Radio Facebook page. So if you want to watch us on this broadcast, you could do it on the Omega Radio on Facebook, the Omega Radio. And so what is the word of the Lord today? Let me get right into it. And I want you to know that we've been mulling over this word for probably a good 3 weeks, almost to a month. And I really believe it is being witnessed everywhere. And it is something I believe you could sink your teeth into. And it's biblical and it's timely. And I believe it's for right now, which makes it prophetic. And that's why I want you to hear this word. And I'm going to begin in Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. This, take it personal, pray about it, judge it, rip it apart, right? Chew on it. Exodus 14, 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel. Now we have types and shadows in the old covenant, so we're going to bring it to God's people today. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And this is what we've been hearing for several weeks now. Do not remain stagnant. Do not stay in one place. Definitely do not go back in your thinking, in your cultivation, your time of growing. Do not go back and do not stand still, but go forward. And that word forward there in the Hebrew is nashah, nasha. And here's what it means. This is going to touch someone's heart. And it's without the H, by the way. It's nasa, nasa. And it means properly to pull up, especially the tent pins. For example, to start on a journey. Start on a journey. Pull up the tent pins. God is speaking to the ecclesia in general, to the church of Jesus Christ, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the true body of Yeshua. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, move forward. Pull up your tent pegs. Start the journey. It also means simply to march or to go onward. So in that little definition, move forward, God is saying to the church, don't look back. You know, you have mentally been engaged in preparing, for example. We talked a lot about preparing yesterday. What are you preparing for? And then sometimes people get taken off their position. They get distracted or they get delayed or deception comes in. The threefold purpose of the devil is to delay, deceive, and distract. So just as an example, preparation for the end times. Well, you look around and all of a sudden you just feel like, man, it's not the end times anymore. You know, why prepare? What is that going to do? And these thoughts begin to come into your mind, so you become stagnant. But God is saying, whatever you have put your hand to do, whatever God has put in your heart to do, move forward in that purpose. Pull up the tent pegs. Don't camp out around unbelief. Don't camp out around doubt. But pull up the tent pegs and move forward. Start out on the journey. Start on a journey. What are you journeying towards? I know for me and for my house, we are the Pilgrim's Progress. We are going forward to meet the King. We are going and accessing the kingdom of God. In spite of all the things that are going on in the world, we have a journey. As a matter of fact, next Saturday night, we're actually going to be playing the film, the animated film, The Pilgrim's Progress. I can't wait. So I remember reading that as a young Christian, and what a phenomenal book, The Pilgrim's Progress. We are simply passing through this world, and we have to keep going on. Don't let your tent pegs get sunk into the deep of this earth. Keep moving forward mentally, emotionally, spiritually, soulically, physically. Keep moving forward. That is the word of the Lord today. And the complement to that is in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. I'm going to start out in verse 16, and it says this. Thus saith the Lord, which makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Watch how these two verses that we've just read in Exodus and Isaiah now, how they connect. There's a story here. Let me read 16 again. Thus saith the Lord, which makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember, verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. So shall you not know of it? He goes on to say, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So let's put it together for just a moment. God is definitely saying to his people in this generation, move forward. Don't go backward. Don't stay stagnant. Move forward. And then when you look in Isaiah, he says, don't remember the former things. Do not consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. So God is saying, I want you to move out from one place and move forward into the new thing that I'm doing. And what is it? It's so interesting when Moses actually spoke those words in Exodus, and when God said, tell the people of Israel to move forward, that was moving forward through the Red Sea. Remember, their back was against the wall. The Egyptians were coming against them. And then God, you know, Moses was crying out, Lord, you brought us out of Egypt, and now we're stuck at the Red Sea. There's the army of Egypt is coming. There's no way out. And God said, get off your face, stop crying, and start telling the people to move forward. I'm going to make a way through the sea. I'm going to make a way through the sea into the wilderness. Now watch the picture. Into the wilderness, I'm going to make a way for you to come out of the Egyptian Empire, come out of Babylon, so to speak, and I'm going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And then Isaiah cries out, and he uses the same terminology in verse 17, where he says, bring forth the chariot, the horse, the army, and the power. Well, that was exactly what was going on when the children of Israel were passing through the sea. And verse 16 of Isaiah 43 said, thus saith the Lord, which makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. So the way that God made for his people coming out of Egypt was into the wilderness. And then God says in verse 19 of Isaiah 43, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I really believe that God is saying to those who have been awakened to the reality of what time it is, that it is not a time to get caught off guard. It's not a time to lay your shovel down. In other words, it's not a time to camp out in this world, because the flood is coming. The things that God has said are surely coming, and God's going to make a way for you to come out of that Egyptian mentality or that empire or whatever it is, that culture or Babylon. And he's saying, I'm making a way through the sea into the wilderness. And then when you're in the wilderness, I'm going to create rivers in the wilderness. I'm going to bring provision to the wilderness. And so what are we really hearing here today? I believe that God is simply telling somebody out there, you need to forget. And I love this. I want to go back to this for just a moment. You need to forget the past. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 said, this one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind, and I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so it's time to really forget the past. Several times in the book of Psalms, King David said, Lord, remember not my iniquities. Remember not my sins. Remember not my transgressions. You could find that by just doing a little word search. And so God is saying to you, I choose to remember not. I choose to bring you on in my purpose. I choose to bring you forward, but you need to cooperate with me. You need to move forward with me. And I truly believe that is the word of the Lord for somebody today. Move forward. What has God told you to do? How do you pick up your tent pegs? How do you move on? Start a journey. And I love that word journey, because we are pioneers, and we'll never forget that. God has called us pioneers. We are pioneers of the faith. We are pioneers on this earth. And what is a pioneer? A pioneer is somebody that is never stagnant. They're always moving forward. They're not settlers. You know, the pioneers came through, then people followed, and they settled, and they were called the settlers. Well, this is not a time for settling down. This is a time for moving forward in this prophetic moment that we are in right now. God is about to do a new thing, and it's going to be better than anything Babylon or Egypt has even thought about. And there's a place that God has prepared in the book of Revelation for the woman to go into the wilderness, where he's prepared a place for her for 3.5 years. The total time of the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth, there's a woman going into the wilderness, and God is speaking now for his people. Is it possible that God is telling you, as you've been coming out of the world a little bit more, you know, through each day, week, month, year, you've been coming out, you've been preparing, that God is simply saying right now, don't settle down where you are, but pick up the tent pegs and move forward. I'm going to bring you through the harshest time of your life, and I'm going to bring you into a sanctified place. I think that's glorious. You know, maybe it's just, you know, something in your psychology. Maybe it's moving out of what some people call negativity. And now, I don't believe the word that we preach is negative. I don't believe that at all. I think it's the most positive word, that the end is coming upon a world system that hates God. I think that's a very positive thing. In fact, in the book of Revelation, the people, the holy people of God, rejoice at the destruction of Babylon. So the end times, to me, is not a negative message. It is a message that says that the king is coming. And I don't know about you, but my born-again spirit desires the Lord Jesus to come, and would to God he would come in our lifetime. Somebody is going to be alive and remaining at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you want to be alive and remaining when he comes and be found of him in faith and to be prepared? Well, there are many things that have to transpire before the Lord comes. I mean, thank God for scripture that actually tells us that there are certain things that must come to pass before the Lord comes. There are signs and seasons. Nobody knows the day or hour, but there are signs and seasons that we can view. And the Lord was very upset with his generation because they could tell when it was going to rain or be a nice day, but they couldn't discern the signs of the times that the Messiah was standing right in their midst and didn't get it because they didn't read the signs. So today, for somebody out there, again, it's time to move forward. Pick up your tent pegs, move on in the purpose of God, the eternal purpose of God. You have been brought into it because you're born again. The scriptures are replete with God's eternal purpose. And so you definitely want to move on. Now, how does this work with what we talked about yesterday? How does this message, you know, quicken your pace, pull up the tent pegs, move out, move forward? You know, maybe it's a relationship you have been in that hasn't been a good relationship. And maybe the Spirit of God has been warning you, don't go any further into that relationship or don't go back to that relationship that you were struggling in. And maybe some desire has risen in your heart and maybe some temptation to go back. But maybe God is just simply saying, move forward, get your tent pegs and go on a journey away from that former thing and move into something brand new. And obviously, I'm not speaking about people who are married. If you're married, man, it's time to bring that marriage together. It's time to unite as one new man. It is time to travel with your best friend. And if your spouse is not your best friend, it's time to make that a reality in your life. But whatever it is, maybe it's in the health of your life and you've just kind of, you've been feeling sickness or feeling kind of disease or feeling, you know, you got a bad report. Pick up your tent pegs. Don't camp out around that bad report. Pick up your tent pegs, move forward, go on a journey into the health that God has provided for you. Maybe it's depression. Maybe you're dealing with depression and you just feel like giving up. You feel like waving the white towel. You're under a lot of pressure. In fact, in just a moment, I believe Patricia is going to be reading a prophetic word from our dear friend that's on the Omega Radio Network. Glenda Lomax wrote a word, Behold, I Come, and it's very powerful, very encouraging. But maybe you've been, you know, hearing that bad report. Pick up your tent pegs. Don't camp around it. Move forward and declare, I'm going on into the realm of health. I'm going to journey into health. I'm not going to give up and give in, and I'm not going to give in to depression. So just, again, everything is moving forward. Move forward in your time with the Lord. Move forward in your prayers. Move forward in your faith. Move forward in your spiritual life. Stir yourself up. You know, stir the gift of God that is within you. Remember, the river of life is in your belly, the Holy Spirit, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Get excited about life. Get excited about this time. It's time to move. It's time to move on. God is about to reveal and unveil a new thing. And everything is accelerating in that direction right now. And this accelerant, whatever God's going to do, is going to act as an accelerant to speed things up, to get things accomplished. And God is going to do it. You have been through the fire. You have been tested. You haven't seen him. You haven't felt him. You haven't been able to touch him or kind of know his presence. You've been going through something, but God says that's exactly right. You've gone through, but I'm going to bring you into the new thing that I'm doing in the earth today. But don't look back. Don't go back. Don't stay still. Move forward. And maybe it's just moving forward in your faith. Hallelujah. Move forward in your faith. Listen, this whole thing of being a Christian, really think about it. It's all around faith. Everything is about faith. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was born of a virgin. We believe that. How do we believe that? How does anybody believe that? That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, was born of a virgin womb, a woman that never had intercourse with a man, and yet God overshadowed her and produced his seed in her womb, and she brought forth the Savior of the world. And by the way, When it comes to Jesus, I just want to say this to anybody out there listening. There is not another human being. I woke up with this in my spirit this morning. There is no name on this earth. Think about any name you want to name. I don't care who it is, from the presidents, kings, whatever. There is no name on this earth that is doing what Jesus Christ has done. There is no name on this earth that is higher than the name of Jesus Christ. There's no guru, there's no Buddha, there's no Confucius, there's no Zen, there's no New Ager, no metaphysics. Men are trying to make names for themselves all the time. There's not a name on this earth that possesses the glory and the power as the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is uniqueness to the name of Jesus Christ, because nobody's ever done what he's done. When's the last time you stepped out of a boat and walked on water? When's the last time you fed 4,000 or 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread? You know, what great name is there? What great name is in the earth today? I tell you, the greatest name on the earth today pales in comparison to the name of Jesus, especially when we apply the name of a person to their actions or their conduct or their character or their ability. Nobody, science, technocracy, technology, there's no name under heaven that compares to what Jesus Christ has done. Now, today, the engineers of technocracy are basically saying, listen, religion has failed. We've given you guys all this time to bring your religion into the world, but look at the condition of the world. Your religion failed. And I agree, religion will always fail. False religion. There's only one true religion. The real meaning of religion, according to scripture in the book of James, is to take care of the widows and the orphans and to keep yourself unspotted from this world, right? So, but religion, the organized religious system, is a failure, but so is government. Government has been in power for a long time, but the technocrats of this age are looking at that and they're saying that has failed too. So your religion has failed, your government has failed, there's still poverty, sickness, disease, war, all these problems. So the technocrats, the engineers of this social engineering project that's going on around the world, are saying it's time for us to take over. And we're going to utilize the power and the prowess of technology and engineering scientific things to begin to open blind eyes or to make the lame man walk and to bring a new heart into somebody. So through technology, the technocrats are saying it's our turn now. They're not going to be able to do what Jesus Christ has done. They're not going to be able to do, and yet the attempt is going to be greater than probably anything we've ever imagined, and the world is going to just stand in awe, and they're going to say of the technocrats of this age and technology, look what the religion couldn't do, the government couldn't do, technology is doing. So technology has a name, but I guarantee you, that technology will fail and already does fail in comparison to Jesus Christ. When that name Jesus is mentioned through a heart of faith, things happen. Believe me, they do. And when he returns to this earth, it's going to be Jesus. There is no other name under heaven by which men may be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. And at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even technology will bow to the authenticity of Almighty God. Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. God didn't need technology. He spoke the word into existence. And when man has built his Babylonian empire, once again in the book of Revelation, it will come down. And it appears right now that Babylon is being built and the zenith of her power is coming. And it's going to be more glorious than anything we've ever known. However, even the Apostle John would admire and wonder at this Babylon, but the angel would say, John, why are you wondering? This Babylon is drunk with the blood of the prophets and of the saints of God. This Babylon is a whore. This Babylon has offended and rebelled and resisted the reality of God. This Babylon will come to power, but it will be destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, it's not going to be technology. It's going to be Jesus. Now, do we oppose technology? Nope. We're doing what we're doing right now because of technology. But we don't put our faith and trust and confidence in technology. We don't put our faith and trust and confidence in government. We don't put our faith and trust and confidence in religion We put our faith and trust and confidence in the person of Yeshua, the Messiah, the King of Israel, the one that died for the Jewish people in the first place and then opened the door to the Gentile world to be the Savior of the world. Though there be many Saviors out there, there's only one that stands out that did the things that he did. You're not going to find another book on this planet that shows what Jesus Christ has done. I mean, and we just have a little tiny bit of what Jesus has done. So my encouragement to everybody, put your faith and trust and confidence in Jesus Christ. Give up what the world is doing, this satanic desire. Remember, it's all this technology, government, religion. It's all in the backdrop satanic. It's Lucifer. I will be as God. I will set my throne in the heavens, in the sides of the north, above all these things. That is Lucifer's heart cry, to be above everything that is called God. He wants to be God. So he manipulates all these different things, and then he says, I'm in control. And for 3.5 years, he's going to have some power. And we're moving in that direction right now. You don't want to get caught in the trap. I mean, Luke chapter 21 says what? That it will come suddenly like a snare upon the whole earth, and they will not escape. What will come suddenly? This whole global ensnarement, this new world order, I guess you could call it anything you want to. The book of Revelation is very clear that Satan, the son of perdition, the beast, the dragon, the false prophet, the satanic reality, the trinity of Satan, that they're going to control the entire planet. They're going to control resources. They're going to control food supply, water supply, the economy, the job force. They're going to control everything. And the only way to operate in their system is to receive the mark of the beast. And anybody that receives the mark of the beast is going to damn their eternal souls to eternal separation from God Almighty in a place of torment we can't even begin to fathom or imagine. But it's written in the Word of God. And many people in the world are set up to receive the mark of the beast right now. But this global thing is going to happen suddenly, like a snare, like getting caught in a trap suddenly. And you don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. So what is God saying? Move forward. Move out. Get out. I'm going to make a way for you to come into my presence. Listen. The whole entire universe can explode. And if you're standing within Jesus, you're going to be all right. You want to be where the Spirit of Christ is. You want to be where God has thought about a place to prepare. Now, the ark, for example, you know that little children's story? That ark that Noah built, that was the only right place to be in the time of the universal flood. You must know where God is creating a Goshen. You must know where God is creating a refuge. Why? Because it's wisdom. It has nothing to do with fear and afraid and biting your nails and panicking. It's wisdom. If God is preparing a refuge, you want to be there. Well, in the very first place, what is God's refuge? Folks, you know it as well as I do. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is our refuge. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The whole Psalm 91 is about God being a refuge to his people. So cozy into the heart of Jesus, cozy into the heart of the Father through Jesus Christ, be reconciled to the Father. This is the only right thing to do. And then when God says he's preparing a place in the wilderness, you say, well, that's for the Jewish people in the last days, maybe. But what about where you live? Is there a place that God's preparing so that you can go through, live in this world during the satanic 3.5 year great tribulation, that the only way to operate is through receiving a mark? Is God telling you to prepare for that moment, to get ready so that you could be outside of that, maybe in a wilderness place, but have your food and your water, in your clothing, in your heat, in your cool, you know, be able to go off the grid, to live outside. Because what's going to happen, it's not necessarily going to be, you know, brutal military forces coming and forcing you to take a mark. The world is going to be fashioned in such a way that people are going to beg for that mark just so that they can get the things that they need. But if you're prepared, you can do it. So that is my opening this morning, what I wanted to share with you. And I just think it's phenomenal that God is saying, I'm doing a new thing. And what is it? What is, you know, if God's doing a new thing, what is it for you right now? Is it collective? Is it general for the entirety of the body of Christ? What is the new thing that God is doing that you and I want to move into? I want to be a part of it. I don't want to watch. I don't want to sit in the bleachers. I don't want to stand by. I want to move into what God is doing. And here's the glory. You're permitted to. A lot of times Satan holds people back from moving forward because they believe something and they refuse to give up that belief. He holds people back by telling them they're too guilty for what they've done. They have no right to move into it because of this, that, or the other thing. They feel ashamed. They feel condemned. They feel like God has departed from them. I want to tell you something. He hasn't. God is a merciful God. He's a merciful God. Now, I want to share something with you. I've been pastoring now 27 years. Okay, been a Christian for 37 years. And I want to tell you what I just learned last weekend. Saturday night, I preached this at church. And it was all about mercy. Blessed are the merciful, right? God is a merciful God. And I looked up the word again for merciful. And do you know, sometimes it means kindness, it means compassion and all of that. We praise God for that. That's not little. But do you know what it really means? There is a word that actually calls mercy or merciful the conciliatory. And what conciliatory means is it's in the realm of reconciliation. You know, God sent his son to reconcile the world back to himself. And so mercy is conciliatory, which means God, in the first place, has a conciliatory heart. In other words, to bring you and I back to him, even when we don't deserve it or have missed the mark. And that's why David cries out to a merciful God. Remember not my iniquities, nor my transgressions, nor my former sins. So mercy is one thing. But before I go any further, good morning, Patricia Joy. Let me get you right here. I think you're okay. Press into me a little bit, if you will.
I will.
And I'm going to bring Patricia Joy in. This is just for those on the Facebook deal here. So good morning. I'll stretch over this way. What's on your heart this morning?
Well, good morning. What's on my heart is that we have one more day to get it right.
Amen.
So aren't we happy to be alive and continue in the way of truth? Because truth is opening up a huge avenue of a new kind of lifestyle that this world has not yet achieved since it's been created. And God is just absolutely with us in it. It was his purpose from the foundation of the earth because he knew there would be a fall and we would have to gather together one day and make it a celebration for those who really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming and celebrate that coming. And I don't want us to forget that the Feast of Tabernacles is that very thing. We are going to celebrate his coming, and we're getting opportunity to gather together as one new man on the earth. By that, I mean Jew and Christian alike who believe in Yeshua HaMashiach coming as a new man in thought, manner, and way, the power of the living God. It's very exciting.
You know, Patricia, you just quickened something in me. I've been asking, well, if the Lord's ready to do a new thing, and we believe that this is weeks of just contemplating this particular message, wouldn't it be interesting? Because we've always believed that during the Feast of the Lord, that God, it's a strategic time where God unveils his plans and purposes for individuals and for corporate gatherings of people. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing for this year, during the Feast of Tabernacles, when God's people are honoring God by coming to his feast to celebrate him, wouldn't it be awesome for him to unveil and reveal what the new thing actually is?
It certainly is, and that is what he's about to do. This is a time like no other for one reason. He said that it would be. Number one, in scripture, the soundness of his heart and love is beyond anything any human being has ever known until we receive the Holy Spirit. Then we could become likened unto it. But that is about it. You know, everything else is in his hands. This plan has been a plan for the coming of the kingdom on earth. The Lord God Almighty, his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, meaning a new lifestyle. I know that some call it the golden age and there's other words for it, but it has been proclaimed from Genesis that it would be, and it is coming, and it is at hand now. So when we gather together with unity of truth, understanding the knowledge by the Holy Spirit of what we have been given. The power that is going to be unleashed is incredible, and he's waiting to gather us together to speak to us, to celebrate with us his coming.
Amen. And what we said yesterday was that people gather together once a week for a church gathering, quote unquote, or a Bible study. And those are always good things. But when we deal with the feast of the Lord, we're dealing with something that existed before the law. We're dealing with something that God put in the sun, moon, and stars on the fourth day of creation, the moeds and the seasons, the appointed times, and the feast and the celebration. It's all there in the fourth day of creation. So God has something in mind. And unfortunately, the church has been ripped off in really, I believe, from something so beautiful within the kingdom of God and the house of God. And we've exchanged it for Christmas and Easter and all that stuff. But the feast of the Lord can be the most powerful intrinsic blessing in a person's life when they fully come to grasp and understand the inward meeting of these feasts. And Tabernacles is all about a wedding feast, Patricia.
That's correct.
It's about a bride that has made herself ready, the rehearsal dinner. It is the time that, you know, we all expect to take place one day in the future. And so it's imperative that we bring this information back out again.
Well, you know, the cleverness of Satan, who comes as an angel of light, giving, you know, demonstrations of what celebrations are, he brings in deception. And when you celebrate Easter, Christmas, and these other celebrations, one would say, well, isn't that about God? And when you look into the depths of the work of the enemy and his clever means and ways to create certain situations, you also learn that, no, it is not about the true and living God. It's about false gods. It's about those that have made up certain deals and together, what would I call it, counterfeits, to take away from the true. And so the true celebrations are the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Passover. And these feasts represent the truth of who Almighty God really is. They even argue now today about whether or not Jesus was born in December, and whether or not we celebrate Christmas at this right time, and they have proven that it wasn't December at all. So what we have to do now is find out what the truth is and move in that direction, and then everything is going to be wide open unto us.
Amen. So again, we're going to be talking about the Feast of Tabernacles all the way up to it. We're October 13th at the setting of the sun. That's Sunday, October 13th.
Amen.
We're already had our first guest speaker. Pastor Ken Maddox will be joining us.
Terrific man of God.
Pastor Tony Nichols, Apostle Todd Murner.
Oh.
We've got Dr. Scott Buss and just a number of other men and women from
Daniel also.
Daniel Seckham from Australia will be joining, who will be on the air with me tomorrow. And we've got men and women from within New Wine Ministries. So we're going to be covering every single one of those meetings under the tent Monday through Friday, different guest speakers every evening for 7 full nights straight ahead. There'll be praise and worship. They're going to be bringing their teams. So October 13th to October 20th is the Feast of Tabernacles. And yesterday we were talking about Amos chapter 8, that prophecy that just seems to be hanging out right now. It seems to be so alive, and we discovered somewhat of a mystery that God says he's going to darken the earth in the clear day. And we were hearing messages just days before that about the electromagnetic pulse. And now I'm tying it into this move forward into the wilderness teaching that we have. And I want to just share a little bit out of this book again that this gentleman went way, way into studying. And I'm going to lay this forth and let it sit. And we're talking about what if the entire electrical grid were to be shut down. And if you don't know what we're talking about, just go to yesterday's broadcast and you'll hear the beginning and you can catch up with us because I'm going through this. It says, during those times when entire metropolitan areas or regions experience blackouts, we get a glimpse into what this widespread emergency might look like. It starts by the people who live in the power outage area rushing in a panic to grocery and hardware stores, hoping to pick up critical supplies like food, water, batteries, flashlights, and generators. Then, as water and food start to run out, many people turn to looting, robbing, and stealing. Some looking to survive, some like hyenas looking for the weak to prey on. Many hoping to score something desirable to barter with in order to get food, water, or medicine. Then things start to escalate and they get even uglier real quick. The average grocery store has just 3 days of inventory, and that often gets wiped out when there's a simple, severe weather warning. Think about our modern supply lines for a minute. Even acquiring a supply of drinking water alone can cause massive social chaos. Think about it. Water is so essential that people will do almost anything to get it. People can live without food for quite a while, but water is required on a daily basis. You can only survive for about 2 or 3 days without it. So if for any reason the water stops flowing or becomes undrinkable, here's what you could plan on in a worst case scenario. And then he's going to get into several steps about when actual power outages have happened in New York, Washington, D.C., there were 4 or 5 states, and how vulnerable the grid was. A squirrel actually crawled up into one of the transformers and knocked it out. One of them was so old, it just fell to the ground and knocked it out. So he's going to get into the details of this. But Patricia, do you think God is saying, I'm unveiling to you things that are coming on this earth, and I'm telling you, don't hesitate. Don't camp out around, you know, your stuff. But you need to pull up your tent pegs and begin to move on, move forward into the place that I'm preparing for this time. Don't be delayed, don't be distracted, and don't be deceived. The things that have been spoken shall surely come to pass.
Well, I want to remind everybody again about Noah. Jesus made it very clear.
Story.
Oh, no. There is truth to it. In fact, the ship is on top of the mountain and it hasn't been moved. Mount Ararat.
Yeah, Ararat.
And it's there. They have pictures of it. They have been there with scientists and they are looking into it and they say, absolutely, the age is right and all of it. No, it's there. In fact, the Bible is true. People try to take it and pull it apart as not being factual, but the prophetic part of it keeps unveiling as being absolutely correct and right. And by the way, there were also many thousands upon thousands upon thousands who were there at the time when these writings were done as witnesses, and it was written down, and that's how we got the Bible. So we have more witnesses then than we do today from any newspaper or social media. No, it's way beyond what social media and newspapers do today. But the thing I want to say is that he told us clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ told us clearly that it will be as it is in the days of Noah. And Noah was asked to prepare by Yahweh, God Almighty. And he said, prepare, for I have to destroy what's on the earth. It got so evil and so bad. But you know what? The Lord says that in these last days, it'll be worse than it ever was, even in the days of Noah. And what did he ask him to do? He asked him to prepare. It took 100 years, but he did it. And in that preparation, he was saved with all his family, or we wouldn't have a population today. It would have been over.
Amen. So the admonition again is to prepare.
Prepare.
Prepare and pray. And this time,
the Lord said, prepare, watch and prepare.
And what's really cool is that the Lord lets us know it's not going to be by a universal flood again. It's going to be by fire that this end will come. Probably,
right,
Patricia, through.
That's what the rainbow is all about.
Yeah, the true rainbow.
The true rainbow.
And, you know, the thing is, where will you be? Where are you going to be when everything that has been spoken is suddenly fulfilled? Where will you be? The grocery stores will be instantly sold out of drinkable liquids, leaving many people with no other choice but violence. You'll see people in a mass exodus trying to get away from the city, likely using violence to get what they need to survive. Take a look at the events of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. People were vicious, fighting and killing over clean water. Traffic jams on the roads leading out of town due to people running out of gas and abandoning their vehicles. This could actually block the highways and trap thousands of people in the cities. This actually happened during Hurricane Rita. Then comes the inevitable mass outbreak of waterborne sickness and disease. This happens because people start to get desperate and they start drinking from unfiltered, dirty water sources. Somebody must be thinking Bahamas right now, Bahamas right now. Escalating outbreaks of violence during the looting as unprepared citizens panic and begin fighting over any remaining liquids. People will begin to loot in search of water and anything else of tradable value. Now, even if you do get your hands on some water, seriously, how much water can you lug around? And for how long? Water is heavy and not easily moved from place to place. Besides that, even a 55-gallon drum of pure water isn't going to last forever. Like everything else, any supplies you get your hands on when a crisis starts may provide you with short-term sustenance you need, but any long-term grid-down situation lasting for many weeks or months will prove dangerous, even deadly, for the unprepared. Without power, essentially every modern convenience like clean water goes away.
You know, I just want to relate to that and mention that even at this very moment, without electricity or EMP strike or anything to that nature, in San Francisco and in Los Angeles, because of the population that has come in to invade, people are sleeping on the streets in filth, and sickness and disease has come forth from that. They are even now fighting against leprosy. And you know that was in the Bible. It was the worst condition for any human being. Jesus Christ, thank God, healed the lepers. He was there and able to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit within him. But the point I want to make is if it is getting that bad now, sickness, disease, leprosy, feces everywhere, just a horrible condition, and there it's getting worse, not better. What would it be like without any electricity at all?
Well, I want to tell somebody right now, you need to go to your place, the place that God told you years ago to get. Maybe there's somebody out there, you bought an acre of land, 5 acres of land, 50 acres of land. You need to go to your place today and just pour oil on it and lay your hands on it and thank God for what you have. You need to bless that property that God has given to you. You have been building the different places for, you know, shelter. You have been planting gardens. You have been digging wells. You have been, you know, putting things away, food away. You've been working what God has given to you. You need to go there right now and thank God for what you have, that God gave you the wisdom to have what you have, because I'm thinking when these things begin to happen, Patricia, I'm looking at the Bahamas right now. We looked at Puerto Rico. Those people had nowhere to go, nowhere to go unless they had an underground basement. And I don't even know if they had basements on the islands or not. They had nowhere to go. Here, there are places, again, the refuge. Now, there were parts of the Bahamas that were totally protected.
Is that right?
Yeah, there were parts because it's an archipelago of islands, there are over 700 islands, and parts of those islands were preserved during that storm.
Wow, I would like to know the story on that.
Exactly, I would too. So you need to thank God for your preparation. The idea is when these things come, you need to know where you're going to go. You have to have a plan. And if you know that there's a place, if you bought 1 acre somewhere in the mountains or the wilderness and you just enjoy going there and you have a pond on your land, you go fishing or whatever, you found a spot. Now what you do is you develop that spot. You prepare that spot. You bless that. You plead the blood of Jesus over that. You anoint it with oil. You put prayer verses on it. You utilize it and ask God for protection on it. You ask him to put a protective dome around your land. You keep maintaining your food supply. You make sure that your water is still working good. You have backup tools and you have the necessities that you need, because that's going to be the place, if you can get to it, where you're going to ride out the storm. And best of all, if you have a community, whether it's your family or a community of believers, I believe if there's a household of faith, they should have all gone out, bought some land, prepared it together, utilized it together, and ride out the storm together. I mean, this is going to be an amazing moment, and why not be prepared now? I think people should thank God if they've done anything to prepare, because the masses are going to be caught off guard.
You're not being seen, by the way.
Oh, that's okay.
You were half a man, that's right. But that's not the truth.
No.
I hope not. You know, many people are saying, I don't want to hear about this. Don't tell me about this. I want to enjoy my life. I don't want to have to worry and concern myself. You're making life difficult for me by bringing these things up. Well, the reason we bring them up is because we love you. We love you and we want you to live and to continue on. And most times when we don't want to hear this, and I've heard many people that were saying these things and I've learned something about them, they're in sin. They're afraid. They have not dealt with their sin issues. They have not truly come to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked for forgiveness for all sin in their life. And it would have been done so easily and so simply. But because they choose not to do it and stay in their sin, they're in bondage. And then when you're in bondage, you are fearful and you are very, very afraid. And so I just want to express my heart in this and say, please, at this time, consider falling on your knees and saying, Lord, forgive me for everything I have done. And go through the things you have done that you know are wrong. And if you don't know, he'll open your heart and mind to understand what is really severely wrong in your life that you've been continuing to do against his perfect will. And so he has paid a price for your sin, and he wants you to be a free agent, free of sin.
Guilt, and shame, condemnation.
Guilt, shame, condemnation, fear, anxiety, frustration, stress, which is killing everybody that's in it. And God wants us to have life, life more abundantly. And the way to do it is by freedom from sin.
And it gives God the glory, Patricia, to know that he's done this for us so that we don't have to do it on our own. What a beautiful gift.
And it goes into eternity, by the way.
Yeah.
In the most glorious way.
Well, absolutely. There is no other eternal life. And that is the message right now. It's about character. It's about a pure heart. It's about clean. God wants holiness. He desires that. He loves that. Because we're becoming like him. And so he's given us a pattern in his son, Jesus Christ. But I need to divert for just a moment. We have a lot of people that are on the telephones right now. We want to give opportunity, if anyone's out there today, to call into the program, 818-369-0326. And if you already have, make sure you press 1 on the dial pad. But here's my dilemma. For people watching on YouTube, we're just testing this out. Someone told us we should go on video, so we're doing it. And it's different. But we're doing what we can. If somebody calls into the broadcast, I don't think the people on the video would be able to hear what they're saying. So that creates a dilemma. However, until we learn how to work that out, if you are listening online right now and have something you'd like to share, we will certainly be able to repeat what you're saying. So if there's a question or comment for the people that are listening on Blog Talk Radio, press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast. We've got about 7 minutes left to talk about anything that you would like to talk about.
And are there questions there that we're seeing?
Well, that's possible. If people are watching on the video at Facebook, if they have a comment they would like to make, bring it on. We'll make sure we bring that out there. And thanks for tuning in, by the way. And Patricia, back to you.
Well, I love the scripture it comes in line with what you were speaking earlier when you first came on radio, and it's backed by a wonderful scripture. And it says it in this manner and way: wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Hear that word, withstand? There's a reason for that word being withstand. We need to be able to handle and take care in that time. And we could only do that in preparation. Withstand in the evil day. And we are body of Christ in the evil day. And having done all to stand. And this is why we're crying out to each and every one of you to take heed and to watch and to be prepared and to stand and to come to the Feast of Tabernacles.
Amen. Amen. So we have and that's important, Patricia. Your words, what you're saying is, in my understanding, very important. We have a call coming in. We're going to go ahead and take the call. We think this is important. 479-936. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Friend Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
What you talked about earlier, Vincent, in respect to the tent post and all that, pick it up and move, the thought that came through my mind from the Spirit was more of those that they want to know more, but they're in the same churches, and God's trying to tell them, hey, it's time to get up and move forward to learn more and be prepared that way instead of being just stuck right where they're at.
Good word.
Yeah, amen. And that's what it's all about, preparing. Kevin, as a matter of fact, as we're looking at this, the longer the power stays off, the weaker and weaker societal order becomes. And this is interesting. To make matters worse, the real problem with the power grid isn't that there's only one big thing that could knock it out. It's that there are several problems with our current power grid, any one of which could shut us down literally overnight. And here is a fact. Our power grid is old. Most of it was put in place well over 50 years ago, and with the rise in natural and man-made disasters, our entire modern-day digital infrastructure is severely threatened and completely vulnerable. According to many experts from the private and public sector, we're just one major catastrophic event away from a complete and total power grid meltdown, which will change life in America forever. And I know it doesn't seem possible, not in America, but neither did the Boston Marathon bombing or September 11th or even Pearl Harbor, but realistically speaking. So with the, yeah, go ahead.
We just got a call.
Yes.
We cannot hear Kevin.
Yeah, of course.
So would you tell them what he had
All right.
mentioned.
Do you remember? I remember partially.
Not totally.
Yeah. So what Kevin said was that he was just thinking about this pulling up the tent pegs, that God is encouraging people to move on in their preparation so that they won't get stuck. Is that right, Kevin, basically?
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, we're always supposed to move forward in trying to learn more of God's word to understand it better. And that way we become better ingrained in Him and not so much following with a church or a plan. Because if the church wasn't there and the destruction's going on, you still got God to rely on.
Amen to that. So again, the message is, if you're moving forward and you're preparing and things break down, you'll always have God as the refuge. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Amen.
Totally agree.
Have a blessed day.
You too, brother. God bless you. All right. We had our first call this morning, and we're down to just a few minutes, actually a minute and a half, and we're going to get ready to go by. So we're doing something new. We're doing a little Facebook video. We're going to perfect it. We need some help. If anybody knows how to get the callers from Blog Talk to be heard on the Facebook, we would love to explore that.
I would like to ask if they just heard what I put together right now. Did they hear his voice at all?
Yeah. Did anybody hear when Patricia put her headphones next to the, I don't know how they would.
Well, he was speaking.
Well, maybe he would. Yes. I don't know.
Did anyone say?
I don't think so. Nothing yet. But we'll check it out. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll have Daniel Seckham on the air. That's going to be important for people to hear him. So we'll have to see how that goes.
I believe we can do it.
All right. I do too. Hey, what a day. Get ready.
Help us.
Pull up the tent pegs.
Amen.
Move forward.
We're going forward.
Start the journey. Remember not the former things. Behold, I do a new thing, saith the Lord. Oh, yes, the headphones work. LOL.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Was that our dear daughter?
That was our dear daughter,
Danielle.
All the way in Southern California. Way to go, Danielle. And Athena Grace. We love you all. God bless. Remember, right now on Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's a roundtable discussion taking place with Patricia Joy. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. That's happening right now. Remember, Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, some of the best messages you're going
to
hear.
And come to the Feast of Tabernacles.
Amen. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. God bless.